Yesterday, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay temporarily resigned following an indictment for campaign finance fraud. He's one of the most powerful politicians in the country, but he prefers working behind the scenes to taking center stage. As a result, little is known about the man himself. Peter Pearl is a writer and editor with the Washington Post magazine. He wrote a profile of Tom DeLay for the magazine back in 2001, and he joins us now from the Washington Post studios. Thanks for being with us, Peter.
Thank you, Lynn.
Peter, you spent some time with Tom DeLay in his home base in Texas. You talked with people who've known him all his life. What is his reputation there? Give us a sense of what people think of him back home.
It depends on who you ask. I mean, he's a congressman who knows how to bring back the goods to his home state, and he is respected and revered by those people who support him politically. But in recent years, he's been less and less popular within his own district, and he's become a little bit too controversial for the tastes of some people in Texas.
Tell us a little bit about Tom DeLay before he got into politics. What did he do before he got into politics?
Professionally, Tom DeLay was a pest exterminator. He went to Baylor University with the intent of becoming a doctor. He got kicked out of Baylor after 2 years. He was asked to leave Baylor. He was a kind of wild guy in college, and he was quite a partier. He ended up getting a degree from the University of Houston in biology, and then he went into the pest extermination business.
Now, you wrote a lot about his family. Tell us something about his family background. It was not such an easy time he had growing up.
His dad, Charlie Ray DeLay, was an oil man, a wildcatter who moved the family around quite a bit. Had him living down in Venezuela for a couple of years. Was also an alcoholic and a man with a pretty severe temper. There were four DeLay siblings, and the three brothers, including Tom, have all had problems with alcohol, and the family also came to be alienated from one another over the years.
And what about DeLay himself? Did he have those kinds of problems himself, and how has that affected his political life?
Well, we talked pretty intimately about his earlier years. This was a conversation 4 years ago, just after George Bush had come into power, and Tom was feeling quite expansive and quite happy about Republican control. And we talked about his personal journey. He's become, in his 30s, he became a serious Christian fundamentalist. And he also had a period in his life where he struggled with alcohol, and a period where he describes himself as kind of lost when he first got to Washington, kind of overwhelmed by the scene there. But clearly he got his act together and overcame a lot of that.
Yeah. We are talking with Peter Pearl. He is a writer and editor with the Washington Post magazine, and he wrote a profile on Tom DeLay for the Washington Post magazine back in 2001. If you have any questions, if you'd like to join our discussion, if you have any questions about Mr. DeLay and his current dilemma, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Peter, Tom DeLay doesn't open up very often about his private life, does he?
No, I was the first reporter in recent years, and to my knowledge, the last that he had kind of allowed inside his circle. I went to church with Tom. I spent time with his wife and his daughter. He's very, very much involved in the Baptist Church in Texas. He teaches Sunday school class. He has a men's group there that he goes to, or was going to, virtually every week. He goes home to his district quite often, and his church and his belief in Jesus are really very, very central to who he is as a person.
And very central to his politics as well.
Extremely so. He basically believes that America needs to be a more God-centered nation. He believes that the Constitution was inspired by God, and he believes that his mission as a politician is to bring America more around to an agenda that is an agenda that would be that of Jesus Christ. And when I said to him that many people would be quite upset at his view on the separation of church and state, and would not be very pleased with having leaders who have these kind of views, he said to me, when faced with the truth hurts. It's human nature not to face that. People hate the messenger, and that's why they killed Christ. And this was his explanation of why he truly believed that he had the answers for America and that people ought to go along with it.
And again, although certainly this is something pretty well known about him, it isn't, I don't think he has particularly worn his religion on his sleeve, so to speak.
No, he's really toned it down. He's toned it down dramatically, and many of the most revealing things about Tom are in his speeches to the Christian Coalition and in his in some of his discussions with me. And it was a side of him that I personally found to be rather extreme, and it's a side of him that he does not allow to be out in public all that much.
And after you wrote that article, was he upset that you had talked about it as much as you had? Or you said he didn't. You said it was the last time that he had been that forthcoming in an interview. Did he react negatively to the profile? Or?
Yes, he did. I never heard from him directly, but indirectly I heard that he was very upset about the story.
Now, Tom DeLay is known to be a very effective fundraiser for the Republican Party. How do you account for that? What is it about him that makes him so good at that?
He's a bulldog of a guy. Tom is a very small person physically. That's one of the things that struck me when I first met him. This is a fellow who was 5'7", and when he was in high school, he was a 140-pound offensive tackle on the football team, which gives you an idea of the kind of stick-to-itiveness that he had. I mean, he's a ferocious competitor and always has been. And I think part of that comes out of a tough family background. As far as the fundraising goes, he was early on one of the people to really adapt to the new rules of the game politically in terms of the importance of money and the way he was able to funnel it to other candidates, not only to assure his own political future, but also to become a force within the Republican Party by becoming known as the guy who could deliver money to people throughout the Republican caucus.
Let's see if we can get a call in here quickly. Scott in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Scott, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Part A and Part B. Part A would be, how did he go from pest control and extermination to Congress? And Part B is, what does he see himself going after Congress?
Okay, thanks for those two questions. We're going to try and answer them quickly for you, Scott.
Pest control to Congress is really pretty fascinating. This is in the Ronald Reagan era. As a small businessman, Tom DeLay developed a ferocious hatred for the Environmental Protection Agency. He wanted to use stronger chemicals in his pest control business, and here he was being stopped by an agency that he called the Gestapo of government. And Tom DeLay, as originally part of the Reagan Revolution, got elected to the legislature in Texas on a pro-business agenda, and was in the minority, felt very much like an oppressed minority as a Republican then in Texas, and worked hard to climb in the Texas legislature and then make the leap to Congress. Since then, he's used his fundraising skills and his people skills to become what the guy they now call the Hammer and the Whip to whip his party in line.
All right, Peter Pearl, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Peter Pearl is a writer and editor with the Washington Post magazine. He joined us from the Washington Post studios. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.